Hello, you are listening to We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I'm your host, Michael Eads, and this is volume 143. This week, we've got a special interview episode. If you think you're not into interview episodes, wait a second. We're also going to play some music. Stick around. As I do every week, I want to remind you that this show is part of the We Own This Town Network, a collection of podcasts brought to you by Nashville residents about all sorts of things. So if you haven't checked out weownthistown.net yet, please cruise on over there and click on podcasts in the navigation, and I'm guaranteeing you'll find something you like. It's there. I promise. This week, we're going to sit down for an interview with Jake Davis. Who is Jake Davis, you ask? I had the same question. Jake reached out to me over email saying that he'd worked on a number of the albums that we played here on the show and simply appreciated the airtime. I nudged him for some details on which specific artists he'd worked with, and I was pretty shocked to find that 90% of what he'd worked on, we'd played. The other 10%, I just hadn't heard yet. So I invited him to come in and have a chat with us about being an engineer, being a musician, and sometimes being a faux band manager. We talk about his history with the city, the struggles of being in a band, and the frustration of files rotting away in Dropbox. I had a great time talking with him, and I think you'll enjoy it too. So give it a listen, and on the backside, we're going to play some selections from stuff that he's worked on. Here we go. We'll get into it.
All right, yeah. I've never really done anything like this before, so let's do.
Well, I think that's pretty interesting, because you emailed me, and you were like, hey, I just like what you're doing, and I worked on a bunch of stuff that you've mentioned.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfortunate that you've never been talked to before, because you're working on a bunch of great stuff.
Well, thanks for saying so. Yeah, yeah, I've been aware of your website and your podcast for years.
Cool.
And, yeah, somehow never encountered you in the wild, but I'm sure we have been in a lot of the same places at
Absolutely.
The same time. It seems like you've got a finger on the pulse of a lot of the things that I'm also interested in town, which is, you know.
Yeah, I would never claim to have my finger on the pulse. and I don't get out as often anymore as I'd like because I'm old. And that's, I get, you know, at 9:30, I like to go to bed. It's nice.
Yeah, I understand that.
But I'm glad that you came in. I'm glad this worked out. It's awesome. We were supposed to do this last week, but you're busy working on more great stuff, which is super cool.
Yeah, yeah. We just started a new Teddy and the Rough Riders full length.
That's great.
Which was very exciting. We did a marathon session. It was 4 days about and something like 55 hours. We got 13 new songs done.
13 songs?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, Jake Davis, this is who we're speaking with.
Yeah.
Let's find out who you are. Where did you come from?
I've been in Nashville for 25 years.
Okay.
I'm 27, so.
You're a Nashvillian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I got a little sad on the way over here, driving by the Greer Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing it in mid-demolition.
That's true. I think they saved the guitar, though.
Yeah, I saw that it was up for auction.
Someone bought it.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't remember what the final price was, but someone's going to do something with that.
Okay. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see the giant pile of stadium seats? There's just like a trash pile of seats.
Yeah.
So if anyone hears this and wants some blue stadium seats, go over to Greer and just steal them.
Yeah, that's a nice relic to have.
Well, 25 years, I don't think that anyone would question you being here, being a Nashvillian, true blue. What brought you into music initially? Like, do you have parents in the zone?
Yeah. So my father's name's Tom Davis. He's an audio engineer, and he owns a business called Seismic Sound that does post-production for mostly television stuff. He's done a bunch of different things, but now he mostly does, you know, like the CMA Awards and the big CMT award shows and... you know, he's done all kinds of things. But
when you were a kid, were you like entrenched in country music? Is that what they brought to you first?
No. I discovered.
Are you a rock family?
Yeah, I was a rock family. You know, he was a Beatles dad.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, which I honestly didn't really get into that stuff until I was well in my teenage years and kind of on my own found it. But
yeah. So sounds like a pretty normal route to go there, finding the Beatles.
Yeah.
Find a country on your own.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get into the music scene? Did you go to college around here? Did you just grow up with these bands as friends?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing, I had a band when I was in high school. I started playing.
What was your band then?
It was called Blue Cadet 3.
I have heard of this.
I was maybe, I don't know, 15 or so. Made a couple records.
I remember this. Astonishing.
Wrote some songs. I got I feel like every engineer says the same thing, but had a Tascam Porta studio that recorded, in my bedroom. And
sure.
And I didn't really, I wasn't really intrigued by the recording process, but I'd never considered getting into the, recording side of things as a profession until a good bit later.
Right.
So I started playing shows and then my band after that was Honey Locust.
Also remember them. I think we played them on the show.
Right. And so I went pretty hard, pushing that, and it was almost like that's what I wanted to do with my life, and that was like a full blown like passion, and this is what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna make it, gonna tour, gonna do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And did that for about 4 years and made a couple records, and it didn't really take off. Didn't I wasn't
it's
touring the world.
Hard.
I wasn't I wasn't making any money doing it.
Yeah.
And in a way, that was pretty discouraging. I'm sure a lot of people experience that same thing.
You put
so much time and effort, and it's like the most important thing in the world. Life.
Not even just time and physical effort, but emotional effort too.
Yeah, big time. And then you put this thing out, and it's like your friends are like, "Oh, sounds cool,"
Right.
And then you're like sitting on a pile of like 500 records, and you're like, "What?
Yeah.
What did I just do?
Yeah,
why
I know
did
that
I
pain.
Do this?
Yeah." It's a hustle. It's an incredibly difficult hustle.
Yeah.
And I think it's so funny that music's so much more accessible now. Like, you can get your music out to the entire planet like that, like so easy. But getting someone to actually acknowledge that it exists is even harder.
Yeah.
Because it's just so saturated.
Yeah. And it's a whole, catch-22 of no one wants to take you seriously unless you're already being taken seriously by somebody serious.
Right.
And it's like, you can't get a manager unless you have a booking agent. You can't get a booking agent unless you have a, PR. You can't. It's like you need every piece of the puzzle at the same time.
Right.
In order for it to work. And I don't know what sort of magic needs to happen, or money, or something that needs to happen.
Yeah, and the money part of it's atrocious too, because you talk to a PR company because you hear that this is a thing that you need,
uh-huh.
and they're like, "Yeah, we are $10,000 for a 3-month campaign." You're like, "What?"
And we can't guarantee you anything.
Yeah, I just pressed up 500 records. I don't have $10,000.
Yeah,
like it's rough. I wish I had the answer to how to navigate that space, but it's just hard.
Yeah, I mean, you're fighting the good fight, being able to put out records for
independent similar.
Artists.
Yeah, I mean, YK Records is in a similar boat though too. I mean, I've used Publicist, I've leaned into the scene and other local blogs like No Country for New Nashville and other places like that. I'm trying, use We Own This Town to my own advantage sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's still really hard, like work your butt off to make a video, and then you tweet about it, and you're like, "Oh, is that it?
I just
tweet about it?"
Yeah, or like the Nashville scene premieres it, and a handful of people in your community see it, and then it's like
and then 200 views.
Yeah, and then it's lost to the ages.
But I think it's all about. I think in that case, it's really about expectations, right? And someone told me this in college when I was in a photography class, like in the dark room, learning to add enough magenta or cyan or whatever to the development process to actually develop a photo, not a digital photo, but like a printed photo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's laborious. It's so much work, and like you mess up constantly. And they just told me, and this is such obvious advice, they said, learn to love the process. Like, just get into enjoying being in the darkroom and messing up. And I think that applies to so many things, like being in a band. Like, you played Athens, you played Chattanooga, and there weren't a lot of people there, but hopefully you had fun playing and you had fun on the road.
Yeah, of course.
And just try and ignore the fact that you spent $300 on, combos and gas.
Of course, so. yeah. And the process is, you know, it's... And then it gets back to the making records thing. I mean, I love making records. I love being in the studio. It's the most, you know, wonderful escape from reality that I've been able to experience. And, you know, it sure would be great if, you know, I felt like a lot of people were hearing the things that were being made. But at the end of the day, it's perfectly satisfying just to know that you've made something and you've been through this, you know, process that's satisfying and rewarding on its own.
And I think people are hearing it. There's expectations there. You can't expect the entire nation to hear it. It's going to be a slow growth.
Of course,
you know?
Of course.
So you've been in Honey Locust, you tour, you're a little downtrodden, and then you have this realization like, oh, I love being in the studio. Was there like a light that went off or?
Not really. It was just, I think, so I've been playing a little bit with my buddy Peter Stringer High, who he was in the Paperhead and Promised Land Sound.
Yep.
And me and him had been collaborating on some stuff, and he had a bunch of songs and a little makeshift studio in his garage at his parents' house. And, you know, he said he wanted to make a record and he, you know, needed somebody to help him record it. And, I was like, well, I know about recording. I had, you know, recorded the Honey Locust album mostly myself. And, you know, I had a basic working knowledge of the recording process. And he had a really cool Tascam 388 tape machine.
To the Tascam.
Yeah, which I'd never used a machine like quite like that before. I'd used the cassette Tascam stuff, and you know, I was like, okay, I can probably do this. This would be a good a good exercise for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, we ended up spending many months. It was a big trial and error thing, making a record, you know, fully on tape. And I think we had like maybe two crappy Behringer mic pres and maybe no compressors and like one really nice mic, and just kind of, you know, figured out how to
make
do
it work
and made it work. And it's you know, it took, you know, doing and redoing and learning that maybe you can't do acoustic guitar and drums in the same room if you're going to need to redo the acoustic guitar. And like, there's a lot of lessons that were learned the hard way.
All right.
Which is the bulk of my recording knowledge has been just learning it the hard way.
Oh, I think that's everybody. Even if you go to school for it, they just put you in the studio and like, all right, mess up.
Yeah, I took a few classes at the Nashville State Community College. They have like a little recording program there. And it was, you know, it was useful in getting some basic knowledge about how microphones work and like, you know, some Pro Tools stuff and things like that. But at the end of the day, like, sitting in those classrooms is absolutely nothing like being in a real recording session with a band. It's like a totally different skill set.
Yeah.
Knowing how a microphone works is like a tiny fraction of what you need to know.
Right.
To be a good
helps you talk the talk.
Yeah.
But not actually walk the walk.
Yeah.
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 All right, so you do Peter's record, and then someone's like, "Oh, I love this record. Why don't you do my record? Is it natural? Do you go out?"
No,
I'm waiting for this light bulb moment, or is it all just a natural slow progression?
It was a pretty slow progression. I mean, I started realizing that, you know, I have a lot of musical friends and friends in bands, and that's and I kind of started to realize there's not really anybody in this circle that's like stepping up to be an engineer or to like be making records for people. Everyone seemed kind of frustrated about the process of recording, hadn't really had great experiences with it, didn't really, you know, there was no one that was just the guy that was doing that. And then, you know, I guess at some point a light bulb went off around that time where I was like, well, I'm pretty decent at this. I think I have it's like in my lineage.
Yeah.
And I enjoy doing it, and this could be, you know, an interesting path to take for myself. I wasn't feeling inspired to make my own music anymore.
Right.
And yeah, and then things just kept coming up. I mean, I did a couple records with the Paperhead, which the Peter connection was there.
Right.
And that was a great
time. You did Chew, right?
I did Chew, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, that's a fun record. We went out to a cabin in Monteagle, Tennessee.
Oh, cool.
And just like carted all of our gear out there and set up for a week or so.
Awesome.
And made that.
Yeah. I don't want to like jump the gun too much, mm-hmm. but like you sent me a list of the projects you've released.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, aside from one person on this list, we played everyone that you've recorded.
Wow.
Like Emily and Nenny.
Yeah.
Have not played, but that's only because I was ignorant and now I'm going to go listen to it.
Yeah. She just actually put out two new songs. Last week that Teddy and the Rough Riders are her backing band for.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, they're pretty killer.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have a 100% success rate with the stuff that you're working on.
Nice, thank you.
So this is amazing. Should we go ahead and tell the people all the things you've worked on?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's
get into that. Are you willing? All right, so from your list, uh-huh. Peter Stringer High, Pan, played it. The Paperhead, Chew, played it. Rain Sticks, Elkmont. Awesome record.
Yeah.
Super good. Wilco loves it.
Yeah, I guess so.
He saw that, right?
Yeah, what's not to love?
Yeah. The Teddy and the Rough Riders 7-inch that came out on Third Man, right?
Yeah, that just came out recently. Oh, that was great. We recorded that at Third Man, actually.
Like, oh, really?
We got to take over the Blue Room for a few days.
So do you have your own central studio? Or
not.
You just have like the gear.
Kind of. I have gear. For a long time, I was just kind of carting my gear wherever to whoever, you know, whatever band's like space that they already had, whether it was a basement or a garage or something like that. And then I live with like some of the guys in the Rough Riders and kind of a musical household. And we have a little, you know, makeshift studio space there. And then now I'm kind of starting to piece together my own sort of home studio space that's functioning and, you know, will be good for some smaller
cool.
projects.
Yeah.
But mostly I just work out of, you know,
I mean,
wherever.
I'm going to keep going because it doesn't seem like you need a spot because this is great.
Uh-huh.
The Teddy and the Rough Riders with Skyway Man EP, the Langenap Sessions.
Yeah.
It's all covers. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. Highly recommend that. And then the Emily record that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Sure, it's good.
It's great.
The Kyle Hamlet Uno record, the thing that just came out.
Called Nowhere Far.
Oh, Nowhere Far, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Ornament, the single, the Better Saturday single.
Mm-hmm.
Medium, Good Old Days with the Groove single.
Mm, yeah.
Love both of those so much.
Yeah.
And this one actually, so Sean Thompson and Weird Ears have played that, love that.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that Skyway Man world.
Yeah. That's with Ornament as well. They're
right.
the backing band on that.
And then Ryan Jennings, this is another one that I had not heard, but when you emailed me this, I looked it up and was like, oh man, this is good.
Yeah.
So both of those two, you can expect on a future episode, just as, you know, not, or maybe this episode. I mean, we can play some music at the end of this.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll play those and it'll be great. This is phenomenal. I won't read the things that you have not released yet because I don't know if those bands want that information out.
I think we can talk about some of that stuff. A lot of those, the bands, you know, I think, and this is something that we can get into today, which we kind of hinted at, the frustration of making a record and nobody hearing it. It's like, I've worked on so many records in the last couple of years and a lot of full lengths and a lot of things that are totally done. And now they're just like rotting in my Dropbox.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of weird expectation about labels or somebody releasing it or what do we do with this? We don't have a manager. We don't have.
I know.
So there's these records that are just totally done and have been for a year or more and are just sitting there. And it's like this endlessly frustrating thing, you know, not only for the band, but for everyone else who isn't, you know, for myself.
And
like,
for fans that want to hear this stuff, too.
For the fans, of course, yeah. There's so many, there's obviously an audience for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. It's Rotting in Dropbox will probably be the episode title of this.
Yeah, 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 dude, that's my life. That's my story.
That's terrible because looking at this, the Paperhead, you've done an LP with them, a new one.
Yeah, there's a new Paperhead. I love it. I think it's wonderful. It's
I'm sure.
It's called Seconds.
Okay.
It's definitely the next step from Chew. It's very playful. It's very almost childlike.
Amazing.
It's I've been trying to convince them to just put it out and not.
Yeah, well, that gets into that catch 22 and all the things you just spoke about, right? Like, who's to say what the right answer is?
Yeah.
Like, hiring a publicist, extremely expensive. The effectiveness of that is questionable sometimes. Yeah. You know, you want a tour, but that's not always possible for some
bands.
Right.
Well, the Paperhead, like, their drummer is living in London right now.
That does make it difficult.
Like, they can't tour. So it's like, what label's going to put out a record from a band that's not going to tour?
Right. But, I mean, God, it's so crazy to me that with all the internet that we have these days, that touring would still be the clincher for a band's success.
Yeah.
Like, a good song's a good song. Like,
right.
Shouldn't Spotify playlisting sort of supplant the need to go drive around the whole country?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I don't know what sort of politics are involved in all that stuff.
But yeah,
it doesn't seem to be in favor of the art. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you've got the Ornament and the Medium both have LPs with you.
Yeah, they both have full lengths that are.
I've been fortunate enough to hear the Medium's LP, and it's phenomenal.
It's so good.
It's so
good. Those guys
good.
Are so talented.
Yeah, and they were telling me that, it, like you said, it's been done for a year. And
yeah.
They're just, like, figuring
and
out what
to
do with it.
To do another one, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and that's one of the frustrating things about releasing records is, like, you do it, and you're in it, and you're excited about it, and then you basically wait for at least a year. If you have somebody to put it out, even
right.
So, just waiting for the pressing and the artwork
right.
and
true.
All that stuff. And then if you don't have somebody to put it out, then that's another extension on the time. You know, it could be 2 years before your record comes out. And then, like, from an artist's perspective, you're miles ahead of that. By,
most people I know in bands, once their record's out and they're playing shows against it, even if it's just locally, they're I'm very tired of these songs.
Yeah.
Like, they're old songs to them.
Yeah.
Even though the audience is like, whoa, cool new song.
Uh-huh.
It's like, nope.
They're already two steps ahead now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that does beg the question then, like, is it better for an artist to just, you know, charge ahead? Like, put it out yourself.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And, like, do it and, you know, hope that you'll get those connections along the way to kind of promote it and, like, you know, whatever it takes to sort of, like, call in favors and get debuts and stuff. And that way, when you do have the next record, like, you're ready to go with the next record. People can always go back.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, and that's been a big topic with a lot of the bands that I work with is should we just put it out and let it, you know, be there and hopefully people will find it and be less precious about it. I mean, to me, that seems like the healthy thing to do from an artist's perspective.
Right.
To not dwell on it for so long and have it be this thing. And then the longer you wait, the bigger the expectation is for what it's going to do when it actually comes out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had friends in a band around town that doesn't really play anymore, but they were in the studio for 16 months or something, just like a year and a half, like slaving away every night, like recording these parts, re-recording these parts, mixing forever. And their expectations were just like through the roof. Like, this is our album. This is the thing. And like the band was kind of done with one another by the time that they actually finished the thing. And it was, I mean, it's not like a new tale. It's not like, wow, listen to this rarity. That happens all the time. But, you know, it's sad that when you see that happen to your friends and you're like, you guys should have just like ripped through this, made something that you were proud of, and then like just kept going.
Yeah, move on. Yeah.
Because you're only going to get better like songwriting
for
over time. Well, maybe. There's a lot of bands that don't.
At least get better at recording.
Yeah. There's a lot of bands who do one record and they should not write any more songs.
Yeah.
They
should
stop.
Yeah. But, you know, they have a right to do that.
Yeah. So you've also got Kyle Hamlet. He's Kyle Hamlet Uno, right?
So
or is
this
duo?
So this is called Kyle Hamlet Duo, which is a collaboration between Kyle and Luke Schneider, the amazing pedal steel guitar player in town. And that's just about done as well. And that's, Luke's kind of doing this ambient bed of these rich textures over, you know, Kyle doing his
And you
his
mentioned thing. That Luke has his own LP of that as well?
Yeah, Luke.
Can we talk about that?
Sure. I mean, Luke, this was something that I just helped to mix that Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah. Rodrigo from Sunseeker and Coupler.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he recorded it, and it sounds great. It's this, you know, big, expansive, ambient pedal steel. Pedal steel is the only instrument on it. And it's a really fantastic piece of work.
I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, I think Luke's got some big plans for that.
And then you've got Emily on here with singles, which are those the two that
those
just came out?
Yeah, those just came out.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I can't say your last name, so I'm avoiding it. Nenny?
Emily Nenny.
Nenny.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I should not be fearful of saying people's names. I mess them up a lot on this show. I'll just embrace it.
It happens.
And Ryan Sambol, formerly of the Strange Boys.
Yeah. I worked on some things with him. I don't know if those will ever see the light of day, but they're wonderful
well, why
recordings.
Not? We just got to talk to these people and tell
them.
I know.
And let's see what else. Just wrapping up a new thing with Sean Thompson and the Ornament Guys.
Oh, yeah?
Which actually... When I leave here, I'm going to go work on mixing it with Sean. But yeah, it's called Time Has Grown a Raspberry. It's like this five-song suite.
Nice.
That Sean, we have a mutual friend who had a dream years ago that Sean made a hit, like, psych folk song called Time Has Grown a Raspberry. And so Sean decided to write that. And it's this big, it's a lot of fun. It's really an exciting.
That is the perfect title for a expansive five suite folk psych record.
Yeah. Look for it soon.
I will. Hopefully he'll just put it out.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he's on that
track. Yeah, he seems to be embracing the here's the thing.
Yeah.
Not that you should just drop a record. I'm going to be clear that I'm not just saying put it on Bandcamp and walk away.
Right.
Effort should still take place, but I don't know. Spending 10 grand for a publicist. There's obviously much, much, much cheaper ways. Like everything pretty much everything on YK Records has not been on a budget like that.
Right.
I mean, and I think we do okay.
Yeah.
But maybe we'd do better if we had more money. I don't know. Most things operate with money.
Yeah.
So I'm told.
Yeah.
Well, cool. This list is amazing. I mean, we'll just restate that. I'm not going to get into projects currently in the works just because I don't want to spoil that for anybody.
Yeah. Let's not go
But this is a good
yet.
List.
Yeah.
It's a good list.
Yeah, there's a lot
very
to
exciting
to
things in that list.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious what you think, having grown up here, what you think of the Nashville scene now, like the music scene, the way it exists now. I have a lot of good things to say about it. Like, tons of people can crap on New Nashville all day long, and I understand and agree with a lot of those complaints, but I think there's some good things to say about the music scene, personally.
There certainly is. I mean, I think a lot of great things are going on right now with the underground scene or whatever. Like, having the new Dark Matter space is huge. They're doing such great things
so
over
good.
There to have an all ages DIY space that's functioning well and is a safe place.
Yeah.
And
being
accessible
incredibly well.
Yeah. And they're actually being able to pay bands a good bit of money.
Right.
It's fantastic. So I love seeing that. I'm not, the most in tune with what new bands are big right now and things like that, but
I don't know about big bands, but I do think that there's, and I think you are such a great example of this, there's such collaboration between bands, not competition,
right.
It's just Ornament's the backing band for this guy who's the backing band for Sean Thompson, who plays with Sky Women, who plays with Teddy and the Rough Riders, it's a whole community there.
It's very, very much a community. And I haven't, at least with the artists that I'm associated with, I don't ever feel any, competition, really. I mean, there's always they're they made a really cool record. Let's make a really cool record, too. That friendly,
that's a Rolling Stones, Beatles
of course,
thing
that's,
that should have happened. Yeah,
that's great. That's what we need. But yeah, everyone's, wants to play on each other's records and play shows together and The Medium and Ornament, I feel are two bands that are really have a great sort of pairing of trying to do this pop thing
and
are supporting each other. And I mean, in my bubble, everything is very healthy, I think, musically. The music scene is better than it has been in a while.
Oh, for sure. We're in a really good era right now.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I think this is a very specific time in Nashville's trajectory that people will look back on as a very fertile time that a lot of interesting music was being made. Even if it's not being recognized right now, I think at some point it will,
I agree. And thank you for making it.
Well, yeah, I feel lucky to be in a position where I get to, you know, work with a bunch of artists that I am personally inspired by, and that, you know, I believe in the art that they're making. And a lot of engineers don't have that luxury. You know, I know personally a lot of engineers that, you know, do it for a living and have to record all kinds of people that they may believe in or may not. And I don't know. I mean, that sounds like a big challenge to me that I'm trying to avoid in my career. And I have, you know, I work in doing audio for a number of different things, and I work in television and do post-production stuff. Cool. So I'm not just record whoever to try to, you know, pay the bills.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be the hardest. Like,
yeah,
make someone sound great when you really don't like what they're making.
Yeah, yeah. I can't really imagine doing that. That sounds...
Well, to like sort of bring it back around to your initial experiences with Honey Locusts, like, do you find now that recording and working with these bands in the capacity that you're in now, is that satisfying to you in the way that that wasn't fulfilling you before?
100%, yeah. I mean, when I'm really in it, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm part of the band.
Yeah. Most
of the
time. You are.
You know, it's like I'm in it with you guys. Yeah. You know, and we're gonna do this together and collaborate. And it's just as satisfying, if not more so, than producing my own stuff. And I really think that it was a huge benefit for me to make my own records before I had tried to help other people make theirs. Yeah. I don't see how you can be producing records if you haven't been on the other side of the glass yourself and know what it feels like to be in front of a microphone and to be like, you know, exposing your like inner turmoil in front of a bunch of
people. Yeah, I'm sure it's
people.
Beneficial for sure. Absolutely.
So I'm really glad that I was able to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you've been able to make all this stuff and come and talk to us. I'll end the show with a couple tracks. Is there anything in particular you want me to play?
Oh, I don't know.
You want me to pick?
Yeah, you can pick.
All right, I'm going to pick. So I don't know what those songs are currently, but thank you so much for coming. And then we're going to play some music now and then call it an episode.
Cool.
Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Yeah, this was great.
Is Thanks there anywhere online me. People can find you? A little self-promotion?
Not really.
No, you're not
I'm
really on the
bad.
Internet.
I mean,
I love it.
You can track me down on Instagram.
Okay.
I need to make a website or something, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it seems to be working for you so far.
Yeah.
So, and we got this list here, so this will be your discography.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I needed to make one, so it was a good excuse to type that up.
Thank you so much again for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah,
alrighty. All right, that was my chat with Jake Davis. Thank you, Jake. And as promised, here's a few songs that Jake worked on. I think listening to them back to back, you may notice a bit of a sonic theme among them, but I'll leave that to you to decipher. We're going to hear Skyway Man with Teddy and the Rough Riders off of the Linganap Sessions, Rye Jennings from his Poems, Prayers, Stories, Songs, and Sayings album, and then Emily Nenny from her brand new single, I Owe You Nothing. I'm actually going to play the B-side, Laugh to Keep from Crying, because I liked it a lot. All right, here we go.
Well, it feels like forever since the aliens arrived on Earth. But it's been 7 years, that is, 7 years on Earth. We used to fret and hurry. They taught us not to worry. So we forgot about the entirety of our history. And we drowned our sorrow. Strange.
I'm sorry. Robot cowboy. I couldn't save you from the sea. Now you're stuck in some warehouse. Sheriff from Mars doing here in this ghost town strip mall. Serving millions in the center of the South. You should be way out west on the Milky Way serving space whiskey. Not over by the food court yelling out. Couldn't save you from the sea. Now you're stuck in some warehouse. So far away from me. Oh, so very far. Thank you.
All right. That's it. You heard Skyway Man with Teddy and the Rough Riders, you heard Rye Jennings, and you heard Emily Nenny. All from Jake Davis. So, thank you so much, Jake, for coming in. Please keep those songs coming. I am confident we'll love them. You can find us at We Own This Town on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the places. You can also get in touch with us at weownthistown.net. We got a contact page. It's just a form. You fill it out. You ever filled out an internet form? We got one. Use it. Our show music that's playing right now is from Upright T-Rex Music. Check them out at uprightt-rexmusic.com. And thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Bye.